Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, Lord, we ask grace for this nation. You said pray for the leaders so that we can have a peaceable life. I know that too many of your people are taking advantage of it to live in sin, and that's never going to work. But Lord, we ask you for grace. We ask you for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, a revival that will turn things around for many people. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to talk to you about something that has been proven. It's dreams, but they've already starting to come to pass. And we call it mass faction and anarchy threatened. I say threatened because we can have an effect on this. And this was given to Matthew Stewart, the first dream here. It's funny, we always get them in batches and they're all in agreement, you know. Matthew Stewart got this one on 8/7/17. And he said, before the dream that night, I had this really great peace on me, and even though I didn't get a lot of sleep, I had this happiness and peace. But after I had the dream, I had a lot of fear. Normally, this kind of dream never really bothers me. And the time I was in the world, I watched a lot of murder shows and investigation shows and so on. But this dream was more real and bloody and evil than any other thing I've experienced. Well, people who haven't experienced the lunatic hatred and evil of ISIS and Nazi Germany and anti-Semitism and anti-Christianism and they're going to be shocked of what's coming, you know. In fact, many are shocked already at what they're seeing happening in America. Our land has been a little insulated, but we really don't deserve it anymore. The same demon of anarchy and faction are at work in our country to destroy it. He said, the dream started like this. I was in my parents' house back in Washington. And I believe this is just as a type of D.C., because that's where this mess has started. And the neighbor, whose name is Hope, next door, came over. She asked me to come help with repair work on the house. Now, you know our house is like our life many times. That's a symbol of it. We're building a house on the rock, right? So I went over, and we went inside the house and came to the kitchen, which is where you're feeding yourself, right? And the ceiling wasn't done, and some electrical wires were hanging down and had to be wired in to the lights. Well, light or understanding is needed in her house, especially in her kitchen where she's feeding herself. We need to feed ourselves on the Word of God, the manna from heaven, right, that gives life. Some insulation was hanging down as well, so I started working on the electrical and getting the lights hooked up and working. And Hope's dad came and started helping me. Well, I think those with Hope will be helped by their father if they will take the time to listen to him. This didn't happen to be the case in this point here, but the father comes to help. And, of course, we all try to help. And so that we are guiltless, right? We got the electrical done and started on putting in the ceiling, but we didn't finish. Well, the electrical is talking about the power, right? And you can be filled with the Spirit, but not obey God nor run after God, and it won't do you a bit of good. The knowledge of the blood covering from the curse, which many Christians do not have, I believe represents finishing the sealing. They only believe in salvation for the spiritual man and not the Psalm 91 Passover of the curse on the whole man. And as such, many people like this will pass away. It's not necessarily that they'll miss heaven, but they might be a star glory and not a sun glory in heaven for eternity, and that's not a good thing. But they may make it anyway. But many are ignorant of the provision of God. And this needs to be corrected, and we all need to work to bring this to correction, to feed the people with what is needed to make them survive what's coming. He said, then Hope and I were sitting at a table, and she said, I really need to get my Audi fixed. And I said, I can take it and get it fixed for you. And she said, but I want to drive my Audi. There are people that want to keep going down the road to catastrophe with their broken vehicle. You know, this body is a vehicle for us. And our life is a vehicle for us. And some people just want to keep on going. They don't want to stop and fix it, so they can get things right with God and right with man, right? In the dream, I had the feeling that she didn't want to let go of the worldly stuff. Well, that's a real clue. So I said, okay, and then she left for work. People have hope, and sometimes it's false hope even, because they don't spend enough time with the Lord to gain knowledge or light that would spare them the problems to come. And that's where I think generally Christianity is. They're trusting in their preachers. And of course, you know what God says about them in Ezekiel 34, for instance. There's a great falling away led by the preachers. And God is unhappy with this, and he's going to replace them with the David ministry, the David man-child ministry. They'll find themselves with less and less power, if any of them have power, most of them don't, and less and less understanding of where to go and what to do in this wilderness situation. Moses basically took over the Old Testament church when he was going into the wilderness. Then I was taken up above this wide and long street and to the left. And I believe this is speaking about the left wing. You know the left wing. On the street was a parade with lots of vehicles and balloons and people marching. And to the right was a lot of people, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, to the right. Well, it's kind of like that red map we saw when the cheating in the vote was stopped because people started to pray that the map turned red. Yes. And we know a parade happens when people want to celebrate a victory or protest one. The leftists are opposed by a much larger group of right-wingers, some of which may be joining only by spirit or internet or TV, and that's how you come up with these large numbers. Okay, because people are joining in on things that they see or hear or read about. You know, they're taking one side or the other, and some people are angry because of these things. And people on the right are fed up and angry with a much smaller group of vocal leftists trying to take over the country or keep control over the country, and always getting in their way because of the criminal media supporting their cause, but we're not to judge the lost as God commands in 1 Corinthians 5:9-13. But we're to fight with the principalities and powers. This is how we win the victory. Many Christians don't have any faith in their prayers or in their spiritual warfare, nor do they understand the enemy that they're dealing with. They're out there wrestling with flesh and blood, and that's always a dangerous and a dumb thing to do. We have much more power when we let the angels do the fighting. And we do that, we overcome them by the word of our testimony, because we love not our life unto death, and because of the blood of the Lamb, as Revelation 12 teaches us, you know. And that's how we overcome. The angels fought with the dragon's angels and cast them down. But it was the saints who overcame them. Because the angels are waiting for us to agree with the Word of God. It empowers them to be on our side. And as I was looking at the people to my right, in other words, the right wing, I noticed that the people were separated in two colors, red and black. And when I woke up from the dream, I thought of the colors, and I thought of anarchy. Yeah. An anarchist flag is red and black. Obama's suit and clothes and his whole family, when they accepted the nomination, was red and black. Very strange, everybody thought. No, it wasn't. He was just identifying himself. And he went on to say 90% were black and 10% were red. And he said, this is not meaning the color of their skin, but groups of people. Okay, they, even the right wing has overwhelmingly lost people, right? And the 90% black could just mean that these are lost people joining the small group of Republicans in anarchy. Even though there's quite a number of Republicans in anarchy. And the reason for that is they are mixed up in the pedophilia stuff. That's a fact. Insiders have said so. Some of the very leaders in Congress are mixed up in this. And, of course, they suddenly seem to have turned leftist. Well, that's because they're defending themselves. They know if we win, they lose. Okay, so they're fighting. They're doing what they're told by the deep state and by the so-called people in charge. Well, what we see here is that we need to watch out for the bad spirits on the right as well as the left. These railers also impart bad spirits that spiritually kill their own people. Because there's railers on the right and railers on the left. I mean, I know people get excited in speaking against the left. But you can get demons from them too. And even though they speak more truth, they speak it with a bad spirit. We're not to judge the world, right? We came here to save them. We came here to fight with the demons that are taking advantage of them. And so on. There was a voice behind me explaining some things to me, saying, the red group is the Republicans. And I looked down at the red group and saw that they had torches and pitchforks and weapons. And so we're talking about militant Republicans. All Republicans aren't militant, nor are they in rebellion against God. But he's talking about this group that is. Torches? That's strange. We don't see torches very much, do we? Pitchforks? No, that either. And weapons? No, not at a parade. We wouldn't expect to see weapons. And we're leading the people in a protest. I knew in the dream that they were protesting against the parade. So the right wing is protesting something that is left wing, no doubt. The divide is becoming dangerous, and Christians would do well to just stay home from such things and even read and watch such things, and instead do spiritual warfare against the spirits causing faction and anarchy. This can be done. Now, just a little note, I shared these dreams with our local body before the Charlottesville riot. So if you're saying, this sounds a lot like that, yes, it does. And I'm not saying that this is the complete fulfillment of this, because I don't believe it is. I believe we're talking about something much bigger, much broader. But, you know, this thing goes on and on. Faction just is carried on and on. One person becomes factious, and faction is passed on by spoken words or written words. It's not like the false revival was passed on by touching with people's hands, imparting kundalini. You know, this is even worse. And it's happening in the media. The media, of course, is the false prophets of the faction for the government, and they're preaching the stuff that's imparting demons to people. And it's going all over the world. If you didn't believe me when I said all this before, you ought to believe me now, because you're looking at it. These people are crazy. This dream that I'm reading here, Matt's dream, was on the 7th, and warns of an unusual happening of people with torches and weapons joining a rally. Huh. Later on, on the 12th, the Charlottesville, Virginia, Unite the Right rally was joined by people with torches and weapons who were in opposition to the politically correct people who were removing Robert E. Lee's statue. However, all of the people were billed by the fake news mainstream media as right-wing nationalists, KKK, neo-Nazis, and of course there were some of these racists there to destroy their own cause. But the average person there was not like that. And they said nothing about the BLM and Antifa and paid protesters and agents provocateur who sought to block the route of the ralliers, heckling and throwing projectiles, purposely seeking to rile them up. The leftist fake news just wanted to make any conservative rally to be evil and to bring disrepute to the right, to make their protests illegal. Right? That's what they want. They want to make the right wing sit down and shut up. And they're willing to do any kind of dirty tricks and false flags to do this. And I don't doubt at all that this is a false flag. We should ask who was behind the man in the car who plowed through the crowd to turn this into a false flag left-wing media event, labeling everyone to suit their evil purposes. We should be asking about this. And then Matt said, I saw them get angrier and angrier at the parade as the parade got closer and closer. And I looked at the black group, and they had torches, pitchforks, and weapons as well, and were as angry as the red group. Then, when the parade met the protest, the red group attacked the people in the parade Notice this sounds so much like what happened in Charlottesville. And throwing some of their torches at the parade. I saw some of that too. At the parade people. And they lit them on fire. And they burned to death. Now, we didn't see anybody burned to death. But you see, it depends on what death is. Death is separation from God. You know. And the red group started stabbing and shooting the parade people to death. Then the black group joined in on killing the people. Okay, so what is this killing? The killing could be mostly spiritual because we've had dreams that opened our eyes very well to see that the factious spiritually are dismembering and killing brethren as they infect them with their own spirits because they don't, the brethren are not listening. And sit there and listen to these people spew garbage, and then they find themselves being taken over by these demons. So spiritually dismembering is cutting someone off from the body, separating somebody from the body of Christ. What would do that? Unforgiveness. Because if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. That's what Jesus said. Now, people don't take this seriously. And, of course, there's the once saved, always saved, but and they don't take it seriously either. They don't take a lot of the Bible seriously. But the facts are, Jesus said that if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you don't have salvation. And more will physically die also. I'm not negating the physical aspect, but the spiritual aspect is real. We've seen these demons take over people, and they are anything but Christian. Totally anything but Christian. Every vile deed, God said, comes from faction. Every vile deed. That's the facts. We know it. It's nuts because we've seen brethren that were relatively good people taken over. Now, they had hidden sins, and that's why they were taken over, because God in Romans chapter 1 says, if you deny the truth, he will turn you over to a reprobate mind. Matthew and Barry didn't know that each other had a dream of an attack at a parade of the left and the right people. So here's Barry Weeks's dream. I'm going to take a moment to pull away from Matt's and share this with you because it's such a good confirmation, and then we'll go back to Matt's dream. Barry said, this was 8:10, and this dream also came before the Charlottesville riot, and we shared it with the local body. I had a quick dream this morning. I was on the roof of a building downtown. I climbed up onto this flat roof, and as I looked down on the street beneath me, I saw two groups of people, one on the left and one on the right. I heard something, and the people on both sides began cowering down in fear as if something was coming toward them, and a siren went off. Okay, well, you know, as I meditated on this, I believe this is what came to me. An air raid siren warning about the prince of the powers of the air. Air raid, powers of the air. Attacking with these spirits, people. People go berserk when demon spirits come on them. I know there's a portion of the church doesn't believe in demon spirits, but it's a very small portion, and most of those people aren't really saved. The fact is, you can't look at what goes on with these people and how crazy they get and evil they get and satanic they get without seeing that this is a demonic happening. Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, which is the beast. You're either Christ or you're Antichrist. And you're judged according to your works. That's what Jesus said. according to the prince of the powers of the air. We once walked according to the prince of the powers of the air, but like a dog turning to his vomit, these people turn back to the spirits that are ruled by the prince of the powers of the air. And it goes on to say, and the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. So if you're a Christian and you're disobedient, guess whose spirit you're following. So this was, an air raid siren to warn people of an attack. A very fearful attack, because when this stuff takes you over, it doesn't just take you over. You go home and you spread your vial among your friends and family, and it takes them over. And on and on and on. It's taking over the world. And the evil news media is at the root of the biggest part of this. And in the church, of course, we've had the exact same faction working in the church. This was in a narrow street, and it seemed like they had begun gathering for some celebration or maybe a parade. Very interesting. And once again, we see a parade being mentioned, you know. A rally, you know. Another man was to my left up there. So there were people watching that were on the left and people watching on the right. Now I know Barry and I know he's on the right. So. And he looked down to the street. He panicked and jumped. And as he was falling, I yelled loudly, "No!" But it was too late, right? Those on the right should not want the death of those on the left, but their salvation. And people down there in the crowd are killing people. And we don't want that. We don't want people delivered over. We're the salt of this earth. You know, our job is to spare people this judgment. I then saw a mist, which seemed like it was made up of tiny particles coming towards them, and then it came up to me very fast. I assessed whether I might climb down to the ground level to be safer, but I realized it was too dangerous, and I only had a few seconds anyway. Well, first of all, I believe these tiny particles represent demons. You know, breath in the word is the same word for spirit, like in Holy Spirit. But there are unclean breaths or dangerous breaths, like this mist or this gas that's being released. And I believe this is unclean spirits from an attack by the prince of the powers of the air. So, and also, he was debating whether to get down on the level of those people who are on the left and the right fighting. And, of course, we don't want to get down on their level because we won't be safe either. God will judge us. We have another level to fight on. And you know, it's a spiritual level. Principalities and powers. We can stop it at the root. People can fight the cause all day long and fail all day long. But what they think is the cause anyway. But the real cause is what they should be fighting. And that's the very root of the thing. And that's the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, right? I stepped back a little on the roof and began praying for our daughter Julia, who I knew to be back at our house. And the whole event seemed to last just seconds. Okay. He said, my sense was that this was a terrorist act. Something very toxic, like gas or something. I believe the poisonous mist or gas represents spirits attacking the people to cause faction, hatred, and anarchy, and it just keeps on spreading. Hence, millions of people, right? Okay, back to Matt's dream. After the red and black groups were done, they started looking for more people to kill. They have a voracious appetite for killing people. It's not like they just do it one time. It's like it's their whole ministry now to go out and kill people with their tongue, mostly. It's a fact. They don't do anything as far as bringing people into the kingdom or training them up in the kingdom or doing anything in the kingdom, in the church side I'm talking about. Their whole ministry is to destroy what the devil hates. To bring down what the devil wants to bring down. They serve him diligently when these demons come on them. And they're looking for more people to kill, it says. And that's because faction spreads by demons as unforgiving people take out their own family and friends and others. And according to Sandy's dream, which I will share with you again, it will cover the world outside of the bride. But some will survive. And while this was going on, Matt said, I felt, notice, in the air, the spirits of hatred and murder. He's just identifying what that stuff in the air represented, right? The demons from the prince of the powers of the air are creating the beast body through criticism and unforgiveness, judgment. And that beast body will make war on the saints. We've seen it. People who were our allies suddenly turned 180 degrees against us and tried to infect us with their evil spirits. And that's what's happening in the world, too. Although they don't know what's going on, they really just can't believe what they're seeing. They can't believe what people are saying and doing. They just can't believe it because they don't really understand spiritual things or demonic possession. You'd be surprised if you were them, too. I'm not surprised because we've seen it already. And I think we've been receiving training for all this. They can't explain it. I mean, you can't be a Satanist sacrificing babies, having sex with children in order to gain power with Satan. You can't do this without walking away with demons that are hell-bent to destroy you. I mean, just look at the people who are involved with it. They're all dying. Have you noticed? Yeah. Then I was in this house where there was someone I knew living there, and I was walking down the hall when the door busted open and lots of people started coming in. These people were deformed in their body and in their head. And this is the factious anarchists. Chunks of their head were missing, but they were healed over like it had happened a long time ago, but it hadn't. It had just happened at this parade, you see. And I believe that these chunks that are missing, I mean, first of all, we call them the stupid spirits because when they come on you, you forget everything godly. You can't remember any scriptures. They don't impress you anyway. So they're just missing parts of their previous knowledge. And I believe that these injuries represent previous mental injuries or thoughts and roots of bitterness, which cause unforgiveness, opening the people up to mindless spirits of faction and anarchy. And that's why we call them the stupid spirits. And some have past hurts that they have not forgiven from the heart and are not immune to rejection and faction. So you must clean this out now, or you'll get taken out in order to humble you just as the rest of these. The voice told me that they got this deformity because of what just happened. So it wasn't old injuries, although let me say this. This country is full of people with a spirit of rejection. It came on them because somebody corrected them or got angry with them or did them wrong or even did them right and they didn't like it, you know. That is one of the main demons that opens people up to faction and anarchy. And it's always because you're not forgiving some person in your past. You know, examine yourself. Who is it that you really just prefer not to be around? Go in there and reject that rejection. Cast it out. You know, forgive them from the heart. Don't hold any offenses against anybody. You're in dangerous territory. That's why Barry wouldn't climb down on their level. He knew that once you do that, you can get taken out. And it's not just you, it's your family. And then, of course, he was praying for his daughter at home, you know. She would have been in danger had he fallen. So the offenses which cause unforgiveness and hatred will take grace from people and open them up to Satan. You don't want this. Clean house. So, Matt went on to say, as they went through the house, they kept going past me and looking right at me, but they couldn't touch me. The spirits inside them knew I was there, but physically they could do nothing. Well, that's because they don't have a right to do anything. They don't have charge over someone who's walking with the Lord and knows their rights and speaks faith. They don't have any authority there. People who are turned over the curse, they're turned over to it by God for a reason. And if you're not forgiven, that's a good enough reason. As I looked into their eyes, I saw spirits of hate and murder. Yeah, if you're angry with your brother, you're a murderer. That's what Jesus said. The bride is not subject to these spirits, and so they are safe. And when I, you know, read this part, this is what came to me immediately with Psalm 23:4-6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because there's death everywhere around these people. They speak death to one another. They bring destruction to one another. But you're immune to it if you forgive and if you don't listen. You're commanded, a factious person after first and second admonition, refuse. Refuse. Once you find out what they're doing, slandering others, they've never even gone and talked to them, as commanded by Jesus in Matthew 18:15, but they are still speaking against them, and that's demonic. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Lord don't want us to fear these people. Just obey God and you've got nothing to worry about. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Of course, the enemy is walking all around him and looking at him and actually knowing who he is, but they can't do anything. In the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means no breaks. You got to stay as a pillar in the temple of God to be safe. Don't go in and go out, you know. Don't abide in Christ and go out in the world. Obey his commands and you will be safe. Disobey them and you will not be safe. It's very simple. Righteousness delivereth from death. In the dream I knew that they killed the people I knew in the house. And they did that by slander. Anger, unforgiveness, criticism, slander. Because they neglected the knowledge of God and did not forgive from the heart. That's what I'm saying. That's why they were able to kill them. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, that is the knowledge that the Lord gives you to protect you. If you reject that, if you think you're going to be polite and listen to somebody as they slander somebody, you're going to get taken out because you're disobedient. And you're letting them slime your brother or sister to you. And that is forbidden. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also will forget thy children. And let me tell you, I've seen parents fall into this because they didn't obey the law of God, and their children were taken out too. It's a very sad thing. And they don't care that their children are being murdered by their own words. They may have been very protective of their children before all this happened, but then they just don't care. Then I was in a house that Hope and I lived in, and I was sitting at a table. I was concerned for Hope because she was out there in that mess. Yeah, that's a dangerous place, right? You know, as Barry discovered. And while I was thinking about that, I had a feeling that those people were still looking for me and my family, but they couldn't find us. Now, of course, the factious anarchists cannot infect the true bride who is hidden in Christ. That's where we have to hide ourselves, in the secret place of the Most High. That means abiding in Christ. That means believing what he says and obeying what he says. Then Hope came through the door, and she was very sad and upset. I asked her why she was sad and upset, and she said, during all that chaos, I wrecked my Audi. There was a car wreck. You remember that, don't you? And let me say this, though, that all who drive a broken vehicle will fail to completely escape this thing. We need a strong, good vehicle, working order. I'm talking about keeping our life in tune with God, right? Worst of all was that they started to hit my car with baseball bats and other things, trying to get to me to kill me. And I finally got away, and they never touched me. Well, Matt said, I breathed a sigh of relief, and then an earthquake happened. It doesn't seem to be in place, but then an earthquake happened. So, while this anarchy is going on, an earthquake is going to happen. What is this? Well, we can just read it over and over and over. It's a sign of the coming of the Lord in His man-child to save His people from the factious and to judge the wicked at the Red Sea. In many places in the Bible and in many dreams, God's visitation, and sometimes it's even called a visitation, to save His holy people, comes with great earthquakes. And it's going to be this time too. It's going to come with great earthquakes. Isaiah 29 and 5. But the multitude of thy here is Zion, as seen a little earlier. Zion, Jerusalem, the bride, spiritual, heavenly Jerusalem, not physical Jerusalem. The multitude of thy foes against Zion, which is the bride, according to what God told John. The multitude of thy foes shall be like the small dust, like the Sennacherib scenario, like the northern army in Joel chapter 2. And the multitude of the terrible ones, well, look around, see who the terrible ones are, as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be in an instant, suddenly. Wow. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts. There it is. He's coming, of course, to save His people from these wicked. The remnant that has survived because they've held tenaciously to the Word of God. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake. It's real common when you find visitation, you find earthquakes. And of course, it's also the timing of the death and resurrection of Jesus. In Matthew, both earthquakes, the earthquake and the great earthquake, are mentioned. And we've likened it to the East Coast earthquake and then the New Madrid earthquake. And I believe those earthquakes are going to go off in the midst of anarchy, and they're going to go off at the time of the coming of the Lord and His man-child, the visitation. And great noise and whirlwind and tempest and flame of devouring fire. Well, you know, if I know one thing we may see very soon is that the dragon comes through because it's Passover in the fall, as the Lord has shown us. And when the dragon comes through its tail, of course, earth goes through that, and we're going to be pelted with fireballs coming out of the sky. Devouring fire, Passover. And, of course, when Jesus was crucified, it was what? Passover. But He was resurrected. Now, look out for that Jesus, because He's going to rule. Yes. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel. Ariel was in verse 1 of this chapter. And it's the bride. It's the heavenly Jerusalem, as we're going to see in just a moment. Even all that fight against her and her stronghold and that distress her, all that fight against her and distress her, shall be like a dream. In other words, it's just going to pass away, like a vision of the night. And it shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Many of these people are going to wake like Nebuchadnezzar did, from devouring the grass, which is all flesh is as grass. And suddenly he came to his senses, and he was very empty about his former prideful life. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Isn't that amazing? Very clear. The Lord is coming to defend His bride. She is not going through this. She has been faithful. She's been tested with the faction. And she has been faithful. And God is going to spare them. Well, my mom heard about everything that was going on down here. And she flew down to be here with me. Many times, mom is the church. And in the dream, I knew that this place wasn't the only place that was experiencing all this madness. But it was all over. Well, that's very interesting. That's that root of bitterness and faction and anarchy will be everywhere except in the bride. Just as Sandy's dream shared. I'll share portions of that with you too in a minute. Then my mom was over the sink, washing the dishes and talking on the phone. And I heard her say that two states became one, Pennsylvania and another state. She said the state's name, but I don't remember it. They were at war with each other, and Pennsylvania won. Well, the winner takes all, right? I wonder if Pennsylvania represents the Liberty Bell. Somebody mentioned that a while back. That would be nice if liberty was won, and it will be won for God's people, because at the Red Sea, which comes at the time of the coming of the man-child, that Red Sea was taking out the enemy, and guess who won? Liberty, because they were free to go into the wilderness. Freedom. In the dream, I knew that all the states were at war with each other. Well, now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? In Dimitri Dudeman's revelation, the Civil War was started by the communists. And so it is here. A communist dictator from our government, who was also a Muslim, invaded our country with Muslims who have, yes, faction and anarchy spirits, and murder too, invaded our country. And in George Washington's vision, the invaders from the East brought this war. Why? Because they imparted, notice, the people in the government who were so close to the Muslims all got taken out by these spirits. Wow. Yes. Remember the Muslims, they fight against their brother, their Ishmaelites and Edomites, and they fight against their brother Israel. What's the parallel? Well, the people who fight against the bride in the church are Ishmaelites and Edomites. They hate their brother. God rejected Esau, who was the father of all Edom, and he lost his birthright because of a root of bitterness. Okay. So these people that invaded us are the people of hatred and anarchy, which this foolish government, led by a Muslim anarchist president, brought in to infect the United States. And then the dream ended. Yeah, well, anarchy and civil war, like Sandy's dream, of the vine and the root of bitterness covering the earth outside of our spiritual house. We were cutting the vines and getting all the roots out of our house and cutting off others' demonic words before they could come under the walls, so we can shut the gate, because the whole world is going to be turned over to this faction, anarchy, etc. This is where the beast comes from, saints. We've only seen the beast on good behavior compared. So, I mean, it's going to get nasty. People are going nuts. They're zombies. They're the walking dead. If you laugh about that, they are too. They're laughing about it, but they know it's true. It is the nature of the beast body. Anger, unforgiveness, criticism, faction, witchcraft. This is what the sign of the solar eclipse is all about. The moon eclipsing the sun. S-O-N. Causing a division of darkness across the United States. The United States is the only country that this is happening to. This is going across the whole United States. Last time it happened, 1776, before the people were made free from the invaders. And if we are to escape this individually, we must get rid of the thoughts against others that are from words that we've heard or thoughts that we've had from the past. You have to love your brother, right? According to dreams, some will not survive the test, but we know that this can be changed by prayer and warfare. Some have been warned already, but have not acted on the warnings. I talk to people sometimes, and they just look at me, give me an excuse, and they go on doing what they've been doing. They don't care about obeying God. If it's causing any pain to them, oh, well, that must mean they shouldn't do it. Never mind God commanded them to. They go on their own way. They're just so dull of hearing. And they're going to get taken out if they don't change their mind quickly. Some have failed testings in the past, which can be a foundation for their future failure if it's not dealt with. And many times this failure comes from spirits that they have had all their life, opening the door for rejection and suspicion and faction. It comes subtly, kind of like the frog dying in the teapot when the heat is turned up. It just sits there and dies, right? Get out of the teapot. Let's repent. Get cleaned up. You're not safe. It's going to be everywhere. And this is a promise in Sandy's dream from the Lord that we will devote ourselves to prayer. If we will devote ourselves to prayer and warfare, He will give grace even to those on the left. Those who win this battle through humility and confession of sin will escape and be blessed. I hope you're listening. I asked for a word concerning the dream and got 2 Corinthians 12 and 21. Lest again, when I come, my God should humble me before you, and I should mourn for many of them that have sinned heretofore. Yes. And repented not of the uncleanness, fornication, and lasciviousness which they committed. Listen, fornication is big in the life of factious anarchists. You don't believe it? Look what ISIS does when it invades a country. They just have to rape everybody. They're just so full of lust. Of course, they got an excuse. You're bad, and they're good, right? Well, what's happened with the the leadership of our government? The same thing. Fornication, adultery, all kinds of lust takes them over. Read Romans chapter 1. The Lord said, if you reject knowledge, he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind that you'll do those things that aren't fitting. And that's exactly what happened. The whole sequence of events for these people is in Romans chapter 1 at the end and Romans chapter 2 at the beginning. So what are we seeing here? You know, we should mourn and call on the Lord for those who have fallen into sins of fornication and faction and lasciviousness, which is conscienceless acts of sin, in order to avert this catastrophe. Okay, I'm going to share Sandy Shaw's dream with you, which I already shared once before, but it fits everything here. Getting rid of bitterness and sin, Sandy Shaw, 5:14-17. In this dream, I see a rock wall that was 4 foot high all around the perimeter. So there is a boundary. The boundary is the scriptures. The rocks represent the Word of God. There is a boundary. There was a gate made of wood that was rounded at the top and came down to about 5 inches from the ground. Five is the number of grace, and so there's a little crack underneath it, but grace is holding. And from the gate to the house, it had a cobblestone walkway. We walk on the rock, right? The Word of God, Jesus Christ. The house was sitting in the middle of the land. This house was all made of stones. Amen. This is our protection. This is protection from the weather, from invaders, from the enemies of all kinds, is to abide in the Word, who is Jesus Christ. If you don't abide in Him, you're cast forth as a branch. In other words, you don't have that protection. You're outside the wall. Right? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. First thing that starts falling away when a person gets faction is they don't care for fellowship. If they come to a meeting, they'll be the first ones to leave. And they'll be the last ones to get there. They just start easing on. They just have this dullness of love. It's just gone. And they don't know it. And if you tell them, they'll just get mad, probably. It was all made of stones. It was rather big, but it looked like a cottage and had that cozy feeling when you looked at it. Well, not a starchy, churchy feel, but a homey feel, right? Amen. There's lots of rules and regulations in the starchy church. They want to make sure people are controlled rather than converted. If they're converted, you don't have to worry about controlling them unless you're just a control freak, which a lot of preachers are. I knew that everyone in UBM had a room there, that is, in this house. We were all working outside. In other words, inside the walls, but outside. Some of us were pulling weeds, watering gardens, and some were pruning trees, cutting grass, cutting flowers for the flower vases. And we were all transplanting some into pots, representing sanctifying ourselves from the unwanted and becoming beautified to the Lord. So we had flower gardens and fruit gardens and fruit trees and a huge vegetable garden. I believe this was representing bearing much fruit and beauty. That's UBM's place. And it's true, because we study the Word and we study the truth, and that's what it does for you. In the backyard of the cottage, we had a brook. And I saw Lexi and Eve's boys, that's Elijah the prophet, and Josiah the reformer. With their pants rolled up and barefooted and trying to catch minnows. In other words, bringing in the little fish. And I was walking around and marveling at what God had done and was doing. Yep, that's a beautiful picture. However, then all of a sudden I heard Leon. Hey, look over here. What is this? And there was a plant of something growing like ivy, but it was a weed. It was thick and growing fast. David said, men, quick, get your hatchets. Chop this weed before it chokes us out. It was growing fast, so the men were chopping faster, using the sword of the Spirit, I suppose, to cut down any invading spirit as a low-crawling vine. And David opened the gate so they could chop it outside the wall. That's right. You don't want it coming in, right? So when you meet people outside and they start doing that, saying things, just chop it off right there. Just chop it off. Turn and walk away. Don't give them the respect that they demand, because they will demand it. They'll insult you too if you don't listen to them. But don't worry. I mean, don't let rejection open you up to these people. And don't have pity for them. If you have pity for them, much like the people in the government had pity for the Muslims and drug them in here and then got infected by them and went totally nuts. The same thing, I've seen the exact same thing happen in the church. Don't pity them. They're wicked. The women were gathering what had been chopped and were burning it. The men finally got the roots and pulled them all out. Oh, praise the Lord. We like that. To make sure there was nothing lingering, they got their shovels and dug deeper. Yep, let's find it if it's down there. What kind of a root of bitterness is going to spring up, right? When they saw that there were no more roots, they covered the holes with rocks. In other words, restraining the sin from coming in using the Word of God. And that's what rocks represent. The stone, Jesus, the Word, which prevents roots of bitterness or other sin from returning. And notice that those who do not get rid of this are lost. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow after peace with all men. If you think you can make peace with a factious person, he'll destroy you. And no use in entering into conversation with him. If you know he's already done this, just back away. That's how you have peace with them. Is don't open any doors for them to walk through. Hebrews 12 and 14, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, what do you think sanctification is? It's cleaning all this garbage out of the house and not letting it come in. Sanctification and holiness are the same word. You need to be holy. If you're holy, God will protect you. There's no reason for a curse on a person that's holy. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. Well, we see that happening, don't we? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Notice, it trouble you, but the many get defiled. You think that you're just taking care of your own life and you can do what you want? No, you can't. You will defile people around you. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. We've seen the Esaus The Lord has given us verses to describe them, verses about them, and he uses Esau to do it. He uses Ishmael to do it too. These are the same people that right now are fighting against natural Israel as a type and a shadow for the church. This is going on. Be careful of these people. Don't choose to have fellowship with them. Get away. Who for one mess of meat, in other words, following after the flesh, sold his own birthright. Sold his birthright? Why? I thought it was once saved, always saved. Nope. Those who do not forgive are not forgiven. That's bad. Real bad. That's the hog that had washed to wallowing in the mire and the dog returning to his vomit. Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, can you be saved and go to heaven with unforgiven trespasses? No. No. Matthew 18:32, then his Lord called him unto him and saith unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, meaning the Lord has forgiven us every debt of sin that we have done against him. And he's telling this servant, I forgave you all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy upon thee? Well, yes. Notice what makes God angry. He's telling you in this text. Makes him angry enough to cut you off. And his Lord was wroth. That means mad. And delivered him to the tormentors. That's demons. Till he shall pay all that was due. Why are these people getting delivered over to this? Because they dabble in criticism and anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. And all of this is unforgiveness. It's exactly what he's talking about here. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you. In other words, he will not forgive you. He will cut you off. If you forgive not everyone his brother from your hearts. Now, we've run across people who thought they had forgiven and wanted to believe that they had forgiven and didn't look carefully to find out if they were doing it from the heart. If you got any bad thoughts come up into your mind against anybody, you need to pray and get rid of them. And willful disobedience of any sin is not under the blood. Hebrews 10:26. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins. Believe God's word, not what you choose to believe, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. That's why people are being delivered over to the tormentors. A certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. A man that hath set at naught Moses' law, what's he applying that to? Us obeying the word. And people do that because they believe once saved, always saved. Sometimes they think, it'll be all right, God will forgive me. No, that's willful disobedience. You don't have a sacrifice. You're going to be judged. A man that has set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. So those who fight against their sin by faith in the sacrifice will be saved. This went on around the whole outside of the wall. And as we were going back inside the gate, we heard a man's voice using a megaphone. He said, the root of bitterness and sin has now taken over the world. Whoa, can it do that? Oh, boy, it's the most contagious stuff I've ever seen. As I say, it's worse than the false revival movement. They had to at least touch you, usually, for you to get captured by it. These, all they got to do is speak to you. Obey God's word. It will save you. And some people, you know, don't like me repeating these things, but you know what? People forget. And a demon can actually help you to do that. And truly, the whole world and the worldly church is quickly being taken over by roots of unforgiveness and sin. We were all inside the gate, and it was closed. Glory to God. That's good news. And when a bride is sanctified, the judgment of the world and the worldly begins in a tribulation. David said, let's all pray for the survivors that are not all going to get choked up. So there are survivors. They're going to live through this thing. Many will learn better. Their ignorance has not delivered them like the bride is delivered, but they will survive. And of course, they will have more reason to listen to the bride. So let's pray for those outside who are to escape the root of bitterness and sin, right? That was the end of the dream. Very interesting. And Sandy said, this dream is showing how we can all work together, live together, and handle every situation together with God. I would add to that, if we forgive from the heart and love one another enough to obey God, proving that we love Him. All right. 1 John 5 and 4 was one of the verses that was given to Sandy. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We have to overcome the world. This is a test to see who is going to be in the kingdom and what level that they are going to be in the kingdom. We're in the time of the bride's test. We're coming to the test for the church in general, which is called the tribulation. These wicked are going to be everywhere. If you don't obey the rules, you'll be taken out. You'll be one of them. Jeremiah 3 and 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, will he return unto her again? Will not that land be greatly polluted? Well, of course. You know, the apostate people of God are not acceptable to God as a wife. And they're really not in the bride, no matter how much they do that in church, make themselves a part of the bride. They're not. The bride is beautiful. The bride is obedient. The bride loves the king so much that she runs after the king, like in Song of Solomon. And loving the king, as we know, means obedience. And obedience, as we know, comes from faith. When we accept the gospel, the good news that Jesus took away our sins, and we are humble and obedient to that, well, God will preserve us. He will bless us. He will deliver us. And we have a right to be in the bride. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, says the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the bare heights and see. Where hast thou not been lain with? So those who have received the seed of the world, that's why they're called a harlot, right? Have borne strange fruit. For some reason it doesn't look like the Father, the head of the house. Strange fruit. So this is how we judge fruit. If a person doesn't have it, it's because they don't look like Jesus. Everybody that abides in him walks as he walks. So now you know dead religion out there. They're not like Jesus. They have no care for their brethren or themselves or their family because they deny the power of God. From such turn away. They will have nothing to resist the enemy with. While they're thinking that they're going to fly away, they're going to find themselves in the hands of the beast. Just like Ivan Panin said one time. Oh, by the ways hast thou set for them as an Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. And that is true. They have brought judgment on America because of the wickedness of their whoredoms. I'm talking about the apostate church. They were not salt, right? Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. Now we know a latter rain is coming for those that are obedient to the Lord. Yet thou hast a harlot's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Yep, that's so true. I mean, you cannot shame these people. When they're in the harlot, they love it. They love excuses. By the way, excuses is just another lie. That's what excuses are. They're just lies. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father? Thou art the guide of my youth. Will he retain his anger forever? Wilt he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and hast done evil things and hast had thy way. And she also got Matthew 13:9. He that hath ears, let him hear. Fits there very well, doesn't it? The modern church has received the seed or the word of the world and have therefore born children that do not look like the first church or their master, Jesus. He only sowed one seed, and that seed is to bring us into his image. Now, people get dressed up and they like the authority and the pedestal that the preachers have with their nice suits and everything, and people like to dress up and look just like them and begin to act like them and so on. And then they take on titles and things like this, you know. But it's like climbing the ladder to them. They're just, you know, climbing over their brethren and what they consider. But they're emulating the people of the world, not the Lord Jesus. Don't respect that garbage. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Hosea 5:3, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. Ephraim was, of course, the northern 10 tribes who apostatized and turned away from the temple at Jerusalem. Thou hast played the harlot. Israel is defiled. Their doings will not suffer them to turn unto their God. Notice that Ephraim's much bigger than Judah. For the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in their iniquity. Judah also shall stumble with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. Because they're stubborn, they're self-willed. They're going to continue to believe in their false doctrines and their idolatrous preachers, and they're just stubborn and they're self-willed. But they want God to accept them the way they are, and he's not going to budge. They got to come to him. That's not what's happening, you know. They shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have borne strange children. Now shall the new moon devour them with their fields. How do you know when the woman's been with the husband? Because the child looks like the husband. In this case, it ain't happening. All those dead churches out there with their steeples. Okay. This next one is about a media attempt to kill President Trump and the economy. And I'm giving it to you so you can pray. Right? And this was given to Eve Brast on the 8th. So it was before this latest happening too. I had a strange dream that was like a warning of things to pray against. I was in some kind of children's restaurant with all kinds of game machines. There's that restaurant again, right? And they're all playing different games, you know. Where there were birthday parties going on and children running wild all over the place. It was dark in this restaurant. Well, I believe the wild children in the restaurant represents what is happening in the world with people feeding on dark and perverted media that causes anarchy. And this is that evil media that we have out there that's spreading the anarchy. And Josiah was to my right, and we were both observing everything. Yes, we are. We're watching this happen. He asked me if he could go over and look at a machine that dispensed very rare coins to the winner. I said, yes. And then I saw in a vision in front of me the cartoonish, which is fake, and in this case it's talking about fake news, because that's what's being spread, right, in the restaurant. Cartoonish statue of the old big boy. Some of y'all remember that or seen that. The big boys, I believe, are talking about the deep state mainstream media. The old big boy from the fast food or junk food restaurant chain, right? Fast food, junk food. So, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, that's what people are feeding on. It's quick, it's fast, we can run on off, but they're not examining the truth as a Christian should do. And of course, it's not going to defend them. It's the rock wall. It can't defend them because there's no rock there. And then she gives a picture link of the big boy. The vision zoomed in on his head, and I heard a voice behind me say, "Nubi, king of Babylon, a horde of war horses coming to America." Let me say that again. "Nubi, king of Babylon, a horde of war horses coming to America." And Eve said to Josiah's generation, a newbie is a newcomer to the game. Well, I believe the newbie king of Babylon is President Trump, because Cyrus became the king over Babylon. And he is new to the game of war, especially a war started and enforced by demonized leftists. He's shocked at what he's seeing, and everybody else is too. How can you be so crazy? How can you expect people to believe that stupid stuff? A child would know better. Yeah. Could this speak of the principle, but not necessarily the timing, of the war horse of Revelation 6 and 3? I think so. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another horse came forth, a red horse. And him that sat thereon was given to take peace from the earth. Are we seeing this or what? That's why I say it's not necessarily within the timing of the second horse rider of Revelation 6. Because the tribulation hadn't started yet. Some people think it has, but it hadn't. We're just seeing a foreshadowing of those things. But to take peace from the earth, that's what's happening. And that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So, it's going to get worse. A lot worse. It's going to take over the world. And the people of God, who are not abiding in the secret place of the Most High, they're not abiding in that rock house, they're not abiding in Jesus Christ, they're in danger. Major danger. And if you try to fight these people in the flesh, the Lord will let you get whooped. Guess what? That happened. A war horse is a fleshly beast that carries its rider into battle. And those strengthened by fleshly beast tendencies will bring faction and anarchy to the United States and the world. They'll destroy many, just as we have seen already. Then Father drew my attention to the statue's left hand. And I believe this is the leftist mainstream media who feeds their junk food, their false news, fake news. And I saw that he was holding a white, blood-soaked pillowcase with the severed head of a man and a thick stack of U.S. greenbacks inside of it. The severed head in the left hand reminds me of the leftist Kathy Griffin with her severed head of President Trump that caused her to lose her job. And is this a representation of the deep state's threat to kill President Trump, which would end the greenback recovery through his hand? Because most of this has come because people have hope again. So if they killed him, guess what's going to happen? There's no reason this recovery is going on except God. There's no reason. The Lord was threatening certain disaster. And we know that it's probably still going to come as far as the economy's sake, but we got people fighting against the economy. They would rather see the economy fall than keep this president in there. And both the fall of the president and of the greenback would be to the liking of the elite and their false prophet media. You know, when Eve sent in this dream, she sent in her verse for our morning prayer meeting because she was working that morning. Same morning, same dream, same verse. Her verse that she sent in, she wasn't necessarily connecting it to the dream. She, by faith at random, put her finger on 1 Chronicles 11:19 on the words, "God forbid it." And I don't believe the text is what God is pointing to, but just this phrase is what God wants us to pray concerning this dream. And I asked for and got a confirmation of this. I know that that's what the Lord was doing. God forbid it. What are we saying? We ask you, Father, to forbid this terrible news. God forbid it. In the name of Jesus, and because of your mercy, God forbid it. God forbid that they would be able to take out Trump, although they're desperately trying to do so, both Republicans and Democrats. That's because these crazy people, guess who they've been associated with? The factious. They've been defending the Muslims. They've been going to those satanic parties. They've been involved. In fact, these insiders have said so. They've been involved in the same pedophilia as the bunch of them. Satanism has taken over the government. And it's by the grace of God that he's bringing it down. Saints, you need to spend time sacrificing your life to fast and pray this curse away. Cast down the principalities and powers who want to bring this destruction. They want to rush along the great tribulation, not just the tribulation, but the great tribulation. They want to make the mark of the beast now. They wanted to conquer America and the beast make war on the saints now. God overruled it. People prayed, God overruled it. It was 3.5 years too early anyway, according to what the scripture says. Pray, saints, pray. Take time to pray. Save yourself, your country, your friends, your neighbors, your family. If you will plunder the strong man's goods, because he was bound by Jesus, then you won't be scattered. The Lord said if you don't plunder his goods, you're going to be scattered. You're either going to be fighting and winning this war with Satan and his demons, or you're going to be losing it. Don't take a vacation from God. There is no such thing. We're at war. Josiah then called out to me very excitedly to come and see what he had gotten. I went over to the machine where he was kneeling, and he explained that he had found a rare coin on the floor underneath the machine, and when he had put it into the slot, it began spilling out a bunch of really rare, valuable coins at him. There were a few other boys that had gathered around him, and he was sharing his wealth with them. He was so excited and said, "Now we're rich, Mom." Well, the Lord, I don't take anything away from the Lord. He can make you rich anywhere you are. And it's a fact that riches will come into the hand of the man-child, typed by Josiah here, and the bride, typed by Eve here, to care for the people going into the wilderness. And that's the tribulation. And you get there through the Red Sea, taking down Pharaoh, you know, little big-eared Pharaoh, and his army. Exodus 11 and 2, "Speak now in the ears of the people, and let them ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold." Now, I don't suggest you go to anybody and do this. I suggest you ask it of them, which is actually what the original says there. That is, you go to God and ask him to have the world put it into your hand. Right? "Because if you give, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." This is a good time to collect when God's people may be losing their homes, their jobs, everything. And God would be sending them, of course, to a real refuge. There are some false refuges out there, and they're pretty ritzy, some of them. And some of them are totally nothing, you know, but they're false because God didn't start them. And God knows where these need to be. And so God is going to bring people into the wilderness where the Egyptians aren't for training and sending back to the world to raise up disciples of Jesus Christ. And of course in 12 and 35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and of jewels of gold and raiment. Jesus taught us to ask the Father, but then he said one time, ask of me. Because when you ask the Father, he is the one who is the head of the church, and he's the one that fulfills it, right? And also, in a spiritual way, the old medium of exchange, talking about these coins, which is an old medium of exchange, or redemption, that is valuable, is the gold and silver of the nature of Jesus, as opposed to the wood, hay, and stubble of the old life. He said, buy of me gold, right? But in 1 Peter 1 and 18, we know that knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without spot, even the blood of Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and 20, now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some are unto honor, and some unto dishonor. Wow. And Malachi 3 and 3. And he will sit as a purifier, a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall offer unto the Lord offerings in righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation of gold and silver and costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Some people are just building religion. It's just stubble. The day shall declare it because it's revealed in fire. That means the fiery trial is going to prove whether your doctrine is going to work or God's doctrine is going to work. Whether your fruit is going to work or God's fruit is going to work. You see, we must be very, very careful to receive the seed that brings forth Christ and not the seed that brings forth strange children. Right? And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. And if a man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Meaning he's going to lose everything. You know, some people don't get much of a reward. They get to go to heaven, but they don't have much of a reward. There's a difference between the star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. The reward is quite different. She said, I asked the Father for a word for this dream, and my finger was on Esther 8 and 7. Then King Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, there's the bride and the man-child. Mordecai means little man. Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged on the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Now you better believe this is going to happen. And, you know, the fall of the faction against the people of God is close, because it's coming in our verses constantly now in our morning. And these are texts that we just received. I'll just share a few of them while I got a few minutes here. Joel 3:18, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord. Make sure you're in the house of the Lord. And shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation. That happened, of course, when they were going into the wilderness. And Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence done to the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Yes, the Edomites are going to be judged. Red Sea coming. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. And I will cleanse their blood, talking about Judah and Jerusalem, which is the bride, that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. He dwells in Zion. He dwells in the bride. Edom represents the factious who war against their brother, Judah, and Jerusalem as a type of the bride. Joel 2:18, then was the Lord jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, Behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far off from you the northern army. They were attacking Jerusalem, the bride, in this case. And this is before the tribulation, when most of the people are going to be attacked by faction, either physical in the government or spiritual in the church. But the northern army, he said, I will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its forepart into the eastern sea and its hinder part into the western sea, and its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. The evil army of those warring against the bride, who is spiritual Jerusalem, Revelation 21:2, will be conquered by God with his visitation. 2 Chronicles 13:12, Behold, God is with us at our head, and his priests with the trumpets of alarm to sound an alarm against you, O children of Israel. In this case, Israel was the faction against Judah. Fight ye not against the Lord, the God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. Of course, Judah had the temple. This is what he's saying. But Jeroboam, the one who factioned Israel against the house of David, caused an ambushment to come about behind them, so that they were before Judah and the ambushment was behind them. Well, this is their favorite method, is backstabbing, as the Bible calls it, refusing to go to the person's face, speak to them alone, as the Lord commanded in Matthew 18:15. They go out and slander, 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 slander. You catch somebody doing that, you ask them, hey, did you talk to them? And they're going to tell you no. And then you say, well, go away. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind them. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. And then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. So the faction against the bride will be conquered by God. Zephaniah 3:15. I'm going to give you a context here, 9-20, because that's what they gave. For then will I turn to the peoples a pure language, in other words, speak according to the word of God, right? That they may all call upon the name of the Lord, nature, character, and authority of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be put to shame for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take out away out of the midst of thee thy proudly exalting ones. That's them. Oh, my goodness. And thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain. In other words, the faction against the bride will be conquered by the Lord. But I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. Oh, that's good. The remnant of Israel, that is those that are left from the attack, shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. They're basically inoculated. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. That is the northern army, Sennacherib's army, the enemy from without. He hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not fear evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, O Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. Wouldn't you like to see that? He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly who were of thee, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Yep, the enemy did not like the solemn assembly. They made war against it. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee. In other words, the faction against the bride will be conquered by God. And I will save that which is lame, and gather that which was driven away, and will make them a praise and a name whose shame hath been in all the earth. There it is again. The shame is going to cover the earth. At that time I will bring you in, and at that time I will gather you, and I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I bring back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. Psalm 144 and verse 12, in context 1 through 15. The finger was on cornerstones. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Take the lessons, saints. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou art mindful, or that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man, that thou takest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down, a visitation. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Wow, mountains smoking? I imagine they're shaking, since that sounds like a volcanic activity, right? Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Send out thine arrows and discomfit them. Stretch forth thy hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters. The waters, of course, are the nations, tribes, multitudes, and so on and so forth. Out of the hand of aliens. They are alien to our ways, our thinking, our Lord, his doctrine, so on and so forth. Whose mouth speaketh deceit, and they do, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon the psaltery of the 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Thou art he that giveth salvation unto kings, who rescueth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Amen. When the Lord comes, he's going to rescue his man-child, and that man-child is going to be filled with the Lord to... You know, the stone which the builders rejected is going to become the head. Thou art he that giveth salvation unto kings, who rescueth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens, whose mouth speaketh deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So those warring against the bride, who is Jerusalem, will be conquered by God. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desireth the first ripe fig. The godly man has perished out of the earth. It's happening in front of our eyes, and even these dreams are saying so. And there's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Their hands are upon that which is evil to do it diligently. The prince asketh, and the judge is ready for a reward. That's right. And the judges are doing exactly that. And the great man, he uttereth the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is a briar. The most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman, even thy visitation, is come. Now shall be their perplexity. Yep, he is going to smite the enemy. Trust ye not in a neighbor, put ye not confidence in a friend. Keep the door of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom, for the son dishonoreth the father. Here's faction. This is how it happens. The daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And the evil army of those warring against the bride, who is spiritual Jerusalem, will be conquered by God. And Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this wisdom today. And Lord, you've given us many more verses just in the last few days about this very thing. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, your grace to us, and thank you for delivering your people from the wickedness that's about to cover this earth, rescuing your people from this wickedness. And rescue Mr. Trump, Father. Rescue President Trump from his enemies, Lord. Most of the things he does make sense, and some of them don't, but Lord, give wisdom. You know, you gave to the king's man-child, like with Joseph, you know, like in several places in the Bible, you gave the man-child to give wisdom to the king. We ask that you do this for Trump. Mordecai was definitely a man-child, and you gave him to the king to give wisdom and direction. And Lord, they need it desperately. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, saints, I'm going to post some of this, and it's going to be much more than actually what I'm speaking here, but that's okay. I'm not going to have a chance to do it today. God bless you, and good night.